morning, folks. Happy Friday. Preparation day for the Sabbath. Welcome back. And we got a whole lot to talk about today. Unfortunately, Randy Yarbrough still will not be able to be with us. So I urge folks to just keep Randy in prayer that he'll be able to be back with us soon. But we do have David Justice online. And David, there is a whole lot, like I said, to talk about. So far, thankfully, we haven't seen nukes. As the joke goes, the World War III may have already begun, and it's not nukes that will signal the beginning. The nukes will signal the end. So, meanwhile, things are still in progress, and there's a whole lot more coming down, a lot of escalation. So let me just ask it, hey, good morning. How you doing, and where would you like to start?
Well, good morning. I'm going to start with, you know, people will be people, politicians will be politicians, and we ended up here because this is the natural progression of a world that has abandoned allegiance to the truth, has abandoned allegiance to all of the principles of the gospel, all of the principles that our Messiah laid out for good government in the kingdom of heaven. And so, and particularly America, America's in rebellion. When I say America, I basically mean the idea that the people bought into, that they thought was America. You know, we bought into an idea that commerce and materialism was more important than the truth. And we'd rather study the stock market than study the principles of the truth. And so the end result is exactly where we're in. It's inevitable. And so what I'm grappling with more than anything is accepting the reality of what is, and walking in peace regardless, and holding myself to a accountability and holding myself to a higher standard of truth. And in the process, you know, I'll be transformed as I meditate and pray on these ideas of the principles of the gospel and the principles of scripture. And at this point, it's the only thing that can save us. And it's a little bit radical to think outside the normal mainstream, like we talked a couple of weeks ago, Overton window. But that's where we have to go, and that's where we have to place our trust and our hope and our allegiance. And that scripture comes to mind, trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and lean not to our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. So one foot in front of the other. Yeah, things look real dire. We are in World War III. It's an information war. It's a mental battle. The battle is in our minds, is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now it's becoming totally manifest just how dark evil can be. And those of us that are called and chosen and faithful, you know, we'll walk through this victoriously. So I want to encourage everyone out there. You know, you're not crazy. You're not alone, and, you know, you were born for a time such as this, and my proof of claim is that you're here, Mark.
Okay. Yeah, we're all here, and you're right. He put us here for a time like this. Well, let's talk about some of the specifics, and we've kind of touched on World War III. I wasn't going to begin with these, but they're fresh and hot off the press and worth mentioning. Earlier in the week, the Russians took out an uplink satellite station in the Donbass area, and I forget where it was at. I don't have the story sitting right here, but it knocked out the communications. I assume by now it's back up, but it was a demonstration, at least, of the ability to really wreak havoc with some of their command and control functions. That was followed the next day by a GPS outage that looked like a test of military jamming capability or interference capability, and was around Fort Hood, Texas, but essentially shows that there's more to it. So that one is kind of a story that's going to continue in progress. Then this morning, there's this story off the coast of France, one of the major internet cables that connects a lot of Europe and Asia and the United States was knocked out. There's a huge undersea gap, I guess you'd say, kind of like what they did to the pipeline. So maybe there's some tit for tat there. And as a result, there are increased website response latencies as backups are having to be thrown in, and traffic is being rerouted and all that kind of jazz. So we're certainly seeing things like this that indicate there are preparations, perhaps, for a more major response. Certainly one of the things that the analysts that are paying attention, as opposed to the WAPO New York Times, are pointing out is if the intent of Russia and China is to escalate against the United States and or the West and do something more serious, this is exactly the kind of thing that would probably precede it. Go ahead.
Well, you know, as I look at all these reports, what's always in the background is who's the enemy here? There is, and let's keep our eyes on the objective, and that's the evil in the world, and the evil is collecting to itself the oligarchs and the rich and wealthy, who want to use the mechanisms of government to kill and steal and destroy much of the population, because they are in the spotlight. The whole world now is, well, those of us that are paying attention are seeing these political establishment people as the enemy. They know that they've been involved in all kinds of corruption, you know, completely natural power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And they're making a move toward total power. They want us to look at Russia and say, oh, Russia's the enemy. Or they want us to look at China. Well, China's the enemy. These folks, these people, these corporations, these what we call countries or nations, these are tools of the hierarchy, the institutional hierarchy above them. And these are the expressions of this, of the allegiance that these countries and nations and peoples have given to the oligarchs of the planet. So the real battle that we're dealing with is not against Russia per se. It's not against China or whatever nation rises up and we, you know, they do apparently do saber rattling. The real issue is the real enemy is the ones that are using big pharma. They're using the school system. They're using the churches, the institutional churches, to construct a narrative and trap us inside that narrative so that we become impotent and dependent. And as long as we're there, they're safe. So all that we're seeing, and now notice that what's being attacked is our ability to communicate with each other. GPS satellites, we got the internet. These are the means of communication. So as in every other war, the enemy needs to cut off communication so that we're not communicating with each other. And that's a primary tactic. So, knowing that we're at war, we're in World War III, of course, information routes are going to be compromised. The people are going to be targeted to prevent communication. I'm actually surprised, Randy, that we're still doing this show as deep as we are into this battle and as close as the upcoming elections are. But we're, again, as long as they can control the narrative, they can control the war, Mark.
Absolutely. Well, and we're going to see continued things. I think what's going to be interesting to me to watch is these stories like the French undersea cable that was cut off the coast of Marseille and things like that. I haven't actually checked to see whether or not the WAPO and New York Times are even reporting them. If they do, it'll be on page, you know, D47, and nobody will pay any attention. But again, these are the little indicators that tell us what's going on. Here's one more. This is a totally off-the-wall kind of a thing, but it's on the financial sites, and it says essentially that the yen trade has puked, is the term that they were using this morning, and they've totally lost control, says Zero Hedge in their headline. Despite intervention and chatter overnight, the Japanese yen puked hard on Friday morning, crashing above the 151 to the dollar number just after it breached the 150 to the buck yesterday for the first time in over three decades. And essentially, all of these are the kind of cracks in the system that say the economic meltdown is well underway. And a lot of people will not notice that, as I've said for years, up until they go to the Walmart and the shelves are empty, and then they'll go, gee, what happened? So we're seeing so many of these things that are important and worth paying attention to. Let me throw out one more. It's on the World War III G pay attention category. In Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, said this is dated the 18th of October, so earlier in the week. that Russia sees no point in maintaining a diplomatic presence in the West. Basically, you guys won't even talk to us. Why do we bother having diplomats here? We have no desire to maintain the same presence we have been in Western countries. Our people work under conditions that can hardly be called human. They face constant threats of physical attacks. And basically, they're reorienting their activities, suggesting, essentially, that they are downgrading relations, not just with the U.S., but the whole West. And basically, what this looks like is, if you are getting ready to launch nukes, you pull your diplomats out. If there is no point in talking anymore, well, that means what? Troops next. So all of these things are the quiet precursors that people ought to be paying attention to. We certainly saw the not-so-quiet precursors when almost certainly by now we know it was the Biden Führer and maybe with help of Poland and the UK that took out the pipeline first and then tried to destroy it, but at least knocked out part of it. The Kerch Strait Bridge later. Both of those are open, overt acts of war. And again, we saw some other escalations this week. Russia fired a missile off the coast of, actually it was in the Black Sea, at a British spy plane and so forth. So things are definitely getting hotter, even if it's being ignored for the most part by the press.
I don't know how much is an act, how much is a narrative relative to America's, or should I say the Biden administration's communications with Putin in Russia. I don't know. there's a level above which all I can do is extrapolate, but I don't know the actual truth of what's going on. This I know. The administration that is now that has control over the instrumentalities of government, particularly at the federal level, got there by cheating. And the reason they got there by cheating is because they couldn't get there any other way, so they had to cheat. Now the amazing thing to me is that they knew so they bought themselves another 2 years. We're coming up on the midterm election. And the people that are fighting for election integrity, the Tina Peters of the world, the others that are directly, they're the frontline warriors in that regard, that are pushing and fighting and attempting to demonstrate election fraud. And a lot of them are saying, well, it's not for the 2022 election. It's just for future elections. Well, folks, thank you for waking up to the reality. Well, we've had election fraud going on for decades, which explains ultimately how we got into the situation, like Nancy Pelosi, for example, being in her office for over 40 years, and Maxine Waters and others like her. Where am I going with this idea? They have been in control of our money and finances and the election and our educational institutions for many decades, if not a century, if not farther back than that. Thank you people for being interested enough to finally join the fight. The truth is the only thing that can set us free from this thing. Until we get that we're already in a battle, and the battle is for the hearts, the minds and the souls of the people on this planet. And as long as they can subdue us to not stand, then they've already won the war. So really, I think they won many, many years ago. And what we're dealing with right now is a great awakening, looking for answers and solutions as to how we actually confront these people. And the first thing is to know ourselves, who we are in the equation, and understand exactly who the enemy is, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's toss out a couple of more stories that, again, help to kind of illustrate the point. I've mentioned the financial aspect, the military aspect, given that the U.S. is jonesing for a nuclear war, is, I think, really revealing. This piece came out from the Daily Mail in the U.K., earlier midweek, again, the 18th, and What's fascinating about that is this is a pretty left-leaning site, and they're actually pointing out things that, for example, the WAPO and New York Times, you know, to use the same two usual examples, will ignore. A report from the Heritage Foundation think tank that analyzes routinely the strength of the U.S. military, armed forces, and potential threats to the U.S. has come out for the first time in its history. They've been around a little less than a decade, and they say the U.S. overall, the military is weak. And it would struggle to win a conflict, especially with China. China's building more warships, and in the United States, it's a mess. The Army scored only marginal. The Air Force was ranked very weak, and the Navy was ranked weak. Now, all of these forces, remember, have not only been emphasizing idiotic stuff like being transgender and teaching guys to put on pregnancy suits and pretend they know what it feels like to breastfeed or chest feed and birth. I mean, it's just plain stupid. I suspect the militaries of other countries and the leadership is laughing and thinking, you know, these idiots think they're going to win a nuclear war. They won't even get that far. But essentially, they have also poison poked all of the soldiers, sailors, and Marines. The Air Force has a real problem keeping planes in the air. They don't have pilots, and those pilots that are flying literally are medically unfit to fly. And they have some of their own flight physicians that have made this point. They're taking an experimental drug. They shouldn't be in a cockpit. And that is exactly the kind of thing that is really revealing and ought to give people pause, especially as you have, as you pointed out, unelected idiots jonesing for a war, nuclear or otherwise. And there's one other aspect of this, and I guess I mentioned it, but not explicitly with the diplomatic situation. I mean, if you were Vladimir Putin, would you have any reason to want to talk to a Joe Biden? The guy's not fully home anyway, and he's not running anything. So who does a foreign leader that wants to threaten the United States with military and nuclear destruction, who does he actually talk to? Does he talk to Karine Jean-Pierre? There's nobody home. Go ahead, David.
Well, there's nobody home. Puppet. You know, that's, and everybody knows that Joe Biden's a puppet for someone. The real question is the who, and I'm of the opinion, and it's just an opinion, is that Barack Obama is the one talking in his ear, and there's a committee of people talking to Obama, and so this nation is being run by committee through a white man who is completely demented, okay? We got a demented pedophile at the controls, and he's not even present, so he's going to accept all the blame. But the real objective of the Biden administration is to destroy America.
You got it.
And if we can't see that the invasion from the South and the stupid rhetoric about, you know, the gender pronouns and trans, you know, all this absolute nonsense is prima facie that the administration is all about treason. They're not representing the American people in any way, shape, or form. Their job is to wreak havoc in America, the Clive and Tivens agenda. It's to destroy America from within. And so we've got open and blatant treason being flaunted in front of our eyes, and we're told not to see it because if we talk about it, that's a conspiracy theory. And so here we go. The mental manipulation is so overt right now that they are fighting for their very lives. Why not? They've committed treason. Why shouldn't they just commit overt treason? Why not? They stole an election. We didn't stop it. These guys are getting away with murder. They're getting away with mayhem. Their objective is to create chaos, which they're, you know, very good and very adept at doing, so that America is brought to its knees. Yes, these people are committing treason, and they have no... principle, objective to have a military to protect America, because that's not the agenda that they have been given to carry out. So let's not fool ourselves into thinking that America still has a military. If the sovereign people of America are going to have any say in how this thing is unfolding, we're going to be the ones ultimately defending our homes and our lives and, you know, bowing our sacred honor to, you know, maintain or, you know, win back the ground that we've lost.
Sadly, you're right. Well, let's throw out a couple more things. I mean, certainly you alluded to the continuing treason. I think one thing that everybody needs to be aware of at this point, and we'll see how it plays out. I can imagine 100 different scenarios, but at least 3 or 4 primary ones that we're likely to see, one or probably all of them. We know that there's nothing changed with the voting machines. They're still rigged, and that there will be a whole lot of votes literally swapped from the R camp to the D camp. So that will at least diminish the amount of the red wave. I don't even like that term because red used to be communist. Nowadays they're all red. But essentially, before the votes are even cast, there's a, let's just say there's a huge handicap in place. And what'll happen almost certainly is that the magnitude of the electoral groundswell will be greater than they can handle with the fraud from the voting machines alone. So we can expect more to happen. Problem is, how's that going to look? How ugly is it going to be? I think it's going to be in your face obvious. It was obvious before, and they threatened people and threw them in the gulags and told them, don't you dare complain. And so folks have been preconditioned that when this one is stolen, if you try to complain, they're going to tell you you're an election denier. Even though if I had to bet at this point, David, I would suggest I think probably it'll be 80-20 that the various Republican candidates nationwide will probably sweep in the biggest landslide in history. It's just that, if a tree falls in the forest and the WAPO lies about it and threatens you for talking about it, was there sound? So that's part of where we are. Let me toss out about 2 more stories that will really help make the case. One of them was that the Biden Fuhrer tried to coerce the Saudis. Now, Trump, if you recall, was impeached just for a claim that he tried to influence Ukraine. And here is literally nobody hiding it. Biden went to the Saudis and said, hey, keep your production up until after the election. Then you can go ahead and screw America. We're fine with it. The Saudis basically laughed in his face and then went and openly joined BRICS. So what they have done is this is probably the biggest economic event, uncovered as it is, over the last decade or more. Certainly, Russia and China have been working to eliminate their dependence on SWIFT and the dollar. But now the Saudis, which is the backbone of the petrodollar, have joined the opposition. And what that means is that you can literally count the days that the almighty fiat dollar has left. Then on top of that, we had the news that, Biden is draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve politically, going to try to keep gas prices up at least through, first week in November, and then we'll have nothing left. So this story came out earlier, too. Forget oil. The real crisis is diesel inventories. Yeah, the SPR is almost drained, but the United States now has less than 25 days of diesel fuel left in the event of an emergency. Oh, and by the way, guess what planes, tanks, helicopters, essentially most of the country runs on? Oh, yeah, diesel. If there was ever a time where you'd say, in a war, we're going to need more diesel than ever, well, what a great time to destroy the inventories if you're looking to kill the country. Go ahead.
Well, and Biden, when we're pushed into a corner, Biden will ultimately surrender. The United States to whoever is perceived to be the aggressor, whether that aggressor is Russia or China, it's all an illusion, people. It's all a movie. It's all a narrative. And all they want is to control the narrative. He that controls the narrative controls. And so we all buy into this narrative and we walk in fear and, oh my God, and we turn into the mainstream media and they tell us, they're all narrating the reality of this. The America is slated to be thrown under the bus. The white man is the one under the greatest assault. And meanwhile, Hunter Biden's laptop is just beginning to appear as being a real thing, and it's still moving at a turtle's pace. This week in the Danjenko trial.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get that on the other side of this half hour. But what Durham did bring out was that the FBI is corrupt to the core. All right, so the DOJ is corrupt to the core of the FBI, so we've got the federal law enforcement SS agencies protecting the treason, so they're complicit. We've got the media. And so the result is, we're on our own, people. The American sovereign has already been assaulted to the point where, they've stolen our voice. They've basically subjugated our voice.
Okay.
On the other side of the break, we'll talk about it.
And you're right. We're there. So we'll pick it up right after the bottom of the hour. Stay with us. Second half now of the Drive Time Friday show. Still a whole lot to talk about. And honestly, David, there's at least one of what I think is the most important stories of the week that I've kind of deliberately waited on. But let's go ahead and finish up the theme we were hitting just as you went to break. You mentioned Igor Danchenko. And the my comment there is there's a guy that they were offering up literally as a scapegoat, a minor player who clearly was involved in the Russia scam. And ironically, even there, the scapegoat got acquitted by the bogus jury. So I know you know more about it than that. Go ahead and fill us in, then we'll talk about some of the other things.
Well, of course, Igor Danchenko, was indicted by Durham as a result of Durham's probe into why the Russia hoax happened in the first place. Danchenko, like you said, was a low-level pawn in the game. But in the process, even though Danchenko did not walk away with a conviction, walked away with an acquittal, the information that came out was so damning to the FBI, because from the stand we learned that the FBI knew exactly that the Russia document.
Yeah.
Was manufactured. It was a lie, and it got pushed anyway. And based upon their knowledge, and here's one of the truths that came out, based upon their knowledge that the document was a lie, they procured FISA warrants so they could spy on Carter and other people in Trump's campaign up into the election, up until the day of the election. But after that, while Trump was in office, they were spying on him. When I say they, we're talking about Joe Biden, we're talking Hillary Clinton, we're talking Obama, we're talking the FBI, we're talking the people that were presently entrusted with securing the status quo of what we'll call the deep state. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they were so afraid of Trump that they spied on him because they were trying to figure out how to get him. And all this came out during the course of the Danchenko trial this week. So I don't believe for a second that Durham is done. The question is, we've got a race to the finish line right here. What the establishment needs is it needs time. Time is the only thing it is buying right now. America has fallen, folks. If you're waking up thinking that, oh, you know, we're going to lose America because we're going to be attacked in World War III, we've already lost it. The question is whether we get it back, and in what form do we get it back. All right. The damage is done. And the FBI has been running cover to protect the players that have been operating in a treasonous capacity. Remember, treason occurs against the American people and the government that was established by the Constitution. These people are openly and actively and blatantly and arrogantly working against the Constitution because they've already won this war, and they're so convinced that nobody can touch them that we're watching in outrage. How can they do this? Well, they can do this if you take it in the context, we've already lost. All right, so the Danchenko trial, basically, yeah, it was a bust as far as getting a conviction, but it was not a bust as far as pulling certain facts out that the American people now have to look at. And those facts blatantly reveal that there was a conspiracy to overthrow Donald Trump. And any way they could carry out that conspiracy, they were working together. And we're talking about the FBI and the Department of Justice. So they're gone. And now we have proof of that claim, Mark.
Okay, well, and we've had proof before, but it's this is more in a legal sense, if you will, and it shows that at least to some extent the truth will come out. The trouble is, again, if a tree falls in the forest, you're not seeing much coverage of this in the major waste stream press. Oh, it's like it's limited to, oh, see here, they even tried to nail this guy to a tree, and that didn't work. Ha ha, we own the press. We'll do to the rest of them what we've been doing to Alex Jones and those that dare to speak out. That brings me to what I think is probably the biggest, at least most important story of the week for one reason. You mentioned the word treason, and this is why. Because the majority of Americans at this point have figured out, hey, they really are trying to kill us. The poison poke thing, I'm thankful maybe I didn't take the booster, or for all of those that knew enough right up front to say, no, I will resist the coercion, the attempt to force me to take this untested DNA modification, this mRNA injection that's got all kinds of other crap in it that does even worse stuff, perhaps. But this week, the CDC's advisory group. Now, what is the advisory committee? This is a bunch of, and let me use the politest term I can here. This is a bunch of medical whores. And that's a politer term. I know I'm doing a disservice to people who sell themselves for money, but don't kill anybody in the process. Because these whores basically unanimously agreed, it's not enough we kill kids when they're above the age of, majority. We want to kill them not just from 5 to 12, but all the way on down. So they have now added a recommendation that the COVID-19 Zyklon B injection, not vax, be added to the childhood immunization schedule, along with the worthless flu pokes and other things that they do to destroy kids' immune system. This one will really knock them out, and just maybe if they don't get transgendered, it'll destroy their fertility too. So, it's kind of a triple whammy. The fact that this was done unanimously, and right before the election, tells everybody that's paying attention, they don't give a damn about your kids, they don't care about your lives, and they know that the vote that you might cast in anger at this isn't going to make any difference. And I contrast that to this release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, because I think, David, what we're really seeing is the press has already been given the talking points. When they rig the election, they're going to claim, see, it was all the cheap gas that caused people to vote for the Biden team. And they won't pay any attention to the CDC and the anger that's there when it comes to acknowledging that there really is an open war. Now, by the way, one other good news here, only about 9% of the young kids under the age of, the young ones, the youngest, under 5, have been sacrificed by their parents to Molech. And it's only about a third of minors. So a lot of parents have awakened at this point to the truth, but it doesn't stop what they're doing. Go ahead.
You know, the real painful thing in all this for me is, all these people who are sacrificing their children, somewhere in them, first of all, we know they're ignorant, but they trust. Okay, so they want to trust in something. They want to believe in someone. So they believe in their church, or they believe in their politicians. And so they're walking inside this deception where it's a self-deluded thing, and they can't think outside that delusion. They can't think outside that narrative. It's too scary out there to think outside that, because that would mean, oh my God, I'm responsible for what I think. I'm responsible for the decisions I make for my children. I shouldn't be trusting this government. There are so many billions of people that whose trust is being betrayed. I mean, here we go. Okay, the CDC, first of all, they're not a government agency. It's a private organization, okay? They have no government authority at all to even exist. But the fact that the media and politicians are looking to the CDC as some sort of, it's just like WEF. These people are not government. They're corporations that have been given dignity and position of power by the media. And so when the fact that they came out with a The board ruled unanimously. You know, it means nothing. It's zero. But in a communist regime, this is how things work. It's not about a constitutional form of government. It's not about agencies that have limitations on their power. It's not about agencies that are restricted by the Bill of Limitations or the Bill of Rights, as it's become known. They're not limited by anything. And so the fact that the CDC is operating as some sort of autonomous agency where its decision becomes law, see, that in and of itself is just totally bogus, and yet that's the way we're being treated, as though, well, you know, it's the CDC said it after all, and so all your school boards and all your school board supervisors, they're going to go along with what the CDC said, even though they're not government. But there's the betrayal of trust by people in positions of authority, which is the worst. It's the absolute worst. And that, so here comes the parents. They're going to stand up to this. And what are the parents going to be labeled? White supremacists. Oh, they're a bunch of fascists. Oh my God, you people. They everything is so twisted inside this narrative. And remember, I'm going to come right back to this. All they're doing right now with all this is buying a little more time. All they need is time, because they're in a race to the finish line. And like every other dictatorial or tyrannical regime has occupied on this planet, their first objective is to kill a lot of people, to murder them. And our history is rife with this example. And so wake up, people. Okay, the government is no longer serving you. The government is serving a much higher agenda, and we're not that agenda. We're just in the way. And so tell the CDC and tell your friends and tell everybody you can. And if you go to a school board meeting, it's time to stand up and make some noise. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, you know, you're right. And the founders basically said it's time to withdraw consent. And when you realize they really are trying to kill you, it's past time to withdraw consent and say, you know what, I'm not going to put up with this anymore, because you want my kids dead. And I know a whole lot of moms that might not believe what it is that's so obvious at this point, but they need to wake up and realize, oh yeah, now that I see it, I'm angry about it. And that's where we are.
They want to castrate the boys. They want to castrate every.
Makes you mad. I know.
I'm having a breakdown. They want to indoctrinate children into this gay, liberal, gay, whatever this thing is. And you know, I can't help but think that Barack Obama and Michael Obama are behind the scenes laughing at how absolutely stupid the American people can be to cooperate with their own demise like this, Mark.
It's interesting, because we're at the cusp. But one of the things I like to point out, and I've been saying this a lot lately, is we are now coming up on what I call a date certain. Regardless of how it plays out and in what form the next level deception ends up being, we know that come that second week in November, it'll be real clear. And even people that have been sitting here thinking, oh, well, the big vote's coming up, the big vote, the Republicans will throw all the bad guys out, and life will be, ice cream and cherries again, and we won't have to worry about any of this kind of stuff. And then Trump will be put back into power, and the political solution will make everything wonderful. We don't have to worry about repenting before an angry Elohim who's visiting judgment. No, it'll all be over. Well, and the truth is, after November the 8th, it will all be over one way or another. At least a lot of the illusion will be over. And the question is, how will people react? And that's, I think, the big wild card to the clear indication that it's no longer being hidden, what they're up to.
Well, the one thing we do have to consider, and I don't know why this hit me so hard this week, let's assume we actually go along and have the election. The idea that all of those representatives and senators that get replaced at the federal level, and we'll just talk about the federal level, not even the state level, they're going to be lame duck candidates. Well, they're going to be lame duck representatives for all of the rest of November, all of December, and I think 20 days into January. I'm not sure when the actual coronation of these new representatives and senators will be, but assuming arguendo that that there is a red wave, which is interesting, is it a red communist wave, or is it a red representative? Is it a red Republican wave? You know, I don't know what we're about to find out, but assuming that it is a red wave and Republicans do get into a position, well, the Dems know that they're going to use that position of power to indict these people for treason. So even if the Dems lose the election, they've still got a month and a half or 2 months to completely destroy the rest of whatever remains of constitutional law and order. So that's the real scenario, is guarantee, folks, buckle down, because we're entering into a very tumultuous time. And so I wouldn't count on being delivered with a Trump counter coup d'etat. I wouldn't count on that.
No, that's been my point all along, of course.
Yeah, we can pray for that and hope for that. But you know what? We've got like I said, we've already lost, and the people waking up is merely waking up to a cornered beast, a ravenous beast that doesn't mind bringing two buildings down on 9/11 and killing all of the people in these people. There is nothing below them, so we can count on them pulling out all the stops, and they will pull out the stops, because there is nothing they won't do to protect their interests in this game.
Okay, well, let's talk about another couple of items that are certainly out there, and this not only is part of the come out of her message that I always like to conclude with, what can we do about it, but another reminder of the kinds of things people need to be aware of, so that if the question comes up, they can inform their friends, their neighbors, their family. We've already talked about the CDC, and a lot of people are beginning to figure out how deadly the thing is. But here's one more. This came out of New Zealand, Epoch Times. A funeral director from New Zealand says that over the last few weeks, he's now come out and talked about it, 95% of all the corpses that he has been dealing with as a funeral director have received multiple or their final, that's a good way to put it, COVID-19 not vax Zyklon B injection within 2 weeks of having rolled over and croaked. Quote, Brenton Faithful, the funeral director, said 95% of the people who have passed away through the work that I've done have been vaccinated within their final 2 weeks. He's been a funeral director for 41 years, running his own mortuary for the last 26. He says, quote, it's very obvious they die within 2 weeks of receiving the vaccination. A lot of them, almost all of them, appear to have died from anaphylaxis, a reaction straight away to the booster. So it's an allergic reaction, like an antigen, a bee sting, or an injection. They die, and oftentimes, he says, the same day, the day or the following day after receiving the COVID-19 vaccination. This isn't a one-off. This is the majority of cases, the vast majority, that have come through our facility, he said. And we've seen similar reports out of people that are working in funeral homes that are noting the huge preponderance of great big ugly. They're not really blood clots. They're just clots that destroy, veins and arteries, excuse me. So these are the kind of things people need to be aware of, and that we're beginning to see, even if they don't want you to talk about it. Go ahead, David.
Well, let's put this in context, and people that are looking for a way to enter into the conversation. Okay, I think this is a crux conversation right here. It's an experimental vaccine. It is not approved by the FDA. It is not an approved vaccine. And so the idea that all these people are, quote, being forced to take it, like, for example, the military, people in the military, they have to opt out, because the military has adopted a policy to force injection, but they can't. It's illegal. So here's where we take a stand. We stand and say, no. No, you may not vaccine my children. You may not put an untested, now that we know that, they've admitted that it was untested before they started, compelling us to take it, so-called compelled. It's not compelled. Remember, and you said it earlier, But we have the final say, even if it's a mandatory obligation, because let's say it is tested. Let's say the FDA still approved it. We still have the prerogative to say no, and that's called non-cooperation. We don't have to cooperate with our own demise, and this is what we have to get our mind around. That's where we need to find the courage, is just to stand up and say, no, this is not happening. And that's where it begins. It begins inside the mind. It begins with our non-cooperation. No, I will not cooperate with you tearing down the American Republic. And so it lives in us until it dies in us, Mark.
Okay. Well, there are a number of similar kinds of things that we need to be aware of and taking action. Here's an easy one. Now, I realize that in doing this story, I'm preaching to the choir, if you will, because almost everybody that's listening to this network is probably aware that Halloween is pagan to the core. It is the satanic high holy day of the year. But this at least kind of helps to underline it. This is another piece from the Epoch Times, came out on Thursday. Says that authorities in California have issued a warning to parents. You'd have thought they'd have come out and issued this warning when they first realized this is pagan as all get out. But anyway, telling kids that, the L.A. Sheriff's Department said with Halloween approaching, parents need to make sure they're checking their kids' candy. Now, how about don't let them go out and participate in a satanic ritual? Don't let them eat anything until they have inspected it, and as if they're going to figure it out. If you find anything in candy boxes you might think is narcotics, don't touch it. Well, the reason they've come out and said this is because there was a giant seizure of the synthetic opioid. As a matter of fact, it's deadly in almost very, very tiny quantities of fentanyl. They caught it, a whole bunch of bags of candy that had the poison pills inserted in the boxes. They look like, regular Tic Tacs or Sweet Tarts or Skittles or Whoppers candy boxes, but they're all filled with fentanyl, which would have killed every single kid that ever took one of these things. And again, the right solution here is not to warn parents to inspect their kids' candy. It's to say, hey, don't let your kids out taking poison from strangers. And especially this year, when you know the CDC and Big Brother is wanting them dead, don't expect that they're going to protect you from what's going to be in those candies. And besides which, they weren't good to begin with, but now they're really deadly. Go ahead, David.
So I have a little a narrative of my own, but actually there's some scriptural support to it. You know, Herod sent out his men to kill all of the babies, you know, and we read that story in the Bible and we're just shocked by it. I can't help but wonder, you know, Romans 8:28, the entire creation groans in eager expectation that the sons of God might be revealed. I can't help but wonder if importing all this fentanyl across the border and you know, killing all the, you know, forced injections and CDC coming out. They want to kill our children. They want to kill us. Are they afraid that if they don't, that there might be a whole bunch of true Romans 8:28 soldiers rise up and actually expose them for what they're doing? The idea that there's so much fentanyl coming in from across the border, and the fact that the Biden administration is looking the other way, tells me, I mean, come on, it's in our face. We are being invaded, and the weapons that they're using are, you know, drugs. And you know what? You're right. This year, remember, we're in an asymmetrical war. It's non-conventional. It's not a war like anything we've ever experienced, because these bastards have mastered the mental techniques of hypnosis and manipulation. And so that's why most of people are going along with it, because they just cannot believe that someone would betray their trust to that degree. Unfortunately, they have. And letting that in is one of the hardest things, because to betray a trust, this is the most painful reality. We don't want to accept that that's happening. But folks, they want to kill our children. And so that's another good talking point to not send your children out on Halloween this year, because I have a feeling that, you know, this is the time that a massive death wave could cross over the country and debilitate many, many people as they mourn. And inside that mourning, you know, then here comes the other foot of dictatorship, you know, after we pass the election. We don't know what to expect. So, yeah, best advice is to stay home and do not celebrate this year.
Yeah, I guess celebration isn't the right word anyway. But what we can celebrate is the upcoming Shabbat and remember who we serve. Dramatically unlike the liars and murderers, he truly is worthy. So thanks, David. Thanks for being with us, folks. And again, Shabbat Shalom.